week I want to learn in Lekita Aluchas, Aluchas Tzitz, Aluchas Beis. There's a very famous lesson which Lekutim Ran Nachman Breslov says, which is incredible profound. And he explains that when a person is extremely confused and life becomes confusing, his faith is confusing, he's down in the dumps, as we would say, doesn't know what's coming and going, has a difficult time functioning, and usually it's even doubting yourself, doubting if there's some people have doubted if Hashem cares about them. Like one person once told me, I felt that Hashem abandoned me. Now people have a lot of questions. So he says, there's a very powerful advice to do yourself. You should ask yourself, where is God? Ask yourself the question. Simple as that. You know, to explain this in a more practical way, you know, when someone's children misbehave and does something bad, you say to the child, what have you done? The mother knows what the child does, the child knows what it does, and I don't even want him to answer. What are you asking him, what have you done? I want you to think, what have you done? You know, when the child starts answering, I'm not interested. But I want you to stay with the question, what in the world have you done? The Rebbein Shalom asked Oda Marishan after, you know, he came down, Hashem, after the sin, and Oda Menchava hiding, and Hashem asks Oda Marishan, Ayeku, where are you? So Oda Marishan thought that Hashem doesn't know where he is. No. That wasn't the question. Ayeku means, what have you done? Where are you in this world? That's the most powerful question that the Rebbein Shalom can ask, and that's the most powerful question you can ask yourself. Is where am I? So Rebbein Shalom asked, that's Ayeku is Ayekoi. Ayeku, where are you? If a person would ask this question, as simple as that, the question of Ayeku will bring him to think and close to Hashem. Now Nachman says a very, very, very powerful Kabbalistic idea, and I'm going to try to explain this in a simple way so we should understand what he's saying. It's a very deep Kabbalah thing. And he says like this, that the world was created with 10 sayings of Hashem. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Hashem created the world by Sora Ma'amorois Nivre Uvaylam. The world was created by 10 sayings. So the Gemara says that if you look in Bereishis, there's only 9. If you study Bereishis, you count, it says 9 times the Yoimer, not 10 times the Yoimer. And Hashem said. So the Gemara says the word Bereishis, that word is also a saying. Bereishis means in the beginning. That's all the Gemara means. So the word Bereishis also is a saying. But that saying, according to Kabbalah, is a hidden saying. So to explain it in a more practical way, when the Hashem says, Yoyimar Hashem, Yehi Oy, there should be light. So I know exactly what Hashem said. Hashem said, let the waters settle in one place. Let earth be seen. And we know what Hashem said. Bereishis doesn't say anything. It says, in the beginning. Bereishis bara in the beginning. Let me tell you, to explain this in a little deeper level, which how the Zohar explains this. The Mishnah says like this, the world was created by Sora Mamoris, 10 sayings. Then the Mishnah goes on, the world could have been created with one saying. Why did we need 10? Hashem could do anything. So the Mishnah goes and elaborates that Rabbi Yisrael wanted to show gives tzchar for the tzaddikim who keep the world going and punish the people who falter and the world doesn't going. So the Mishnah says Hashem could have said one saying. What is that one saying? Bereishis. Why? Bereishis b'misper katan is 13. You know what b'misper katan means? That's another interesting Kabbalah. I mean, you drop all the zeros. You take base and erase. Erase is 200, drop the zeros, makes it 2. A shin is 300, drop the zeros, it's 3. You'll count it, you see it's exactly 13. Echad is the gematria 13. The word Bereishis has enormous achdus, oneness to it. See, to explain this in a little bit, and the Balaam and Kibbalim explain this, we don't know what God is. We have no idea. We only know what He's not. We don't know, can't say, I know Him, I know He's charming, I know that He's smart, He's good looking, or He's bright, He's witty. We don't know nothing. All we know, that He's not. But we do know that Hashem is one of one, one, which is beyond our comprehension of oneness. See, we are one, but we're not one. We are made out of a trillion cells. So we're not one. We have two hands. Each hand has enormous amount of pieces to it. And we're not one. Even our moods are not one. Today you're in a good mood. Yesterday you were a bad mood. I don't know which mood we're going to be tomorrow. We are moody people. Shem is not in the mood. There's no moods about Him. There's no... And not only that, He, in His wisdom, is all one. So you could be a very wise person, but you and your wisdom doesn't have to be one. You could be... Some days your mind is incredible clear. You have clear thinking. Some days you wake up cloggy. And... wisdom is that you have a brain that can take information. You and information is not one. I could take in information, trading information. A secular person would take in physicist information or medical information. You and information is not one. Hashem is one with His wisdom, which is beyond, again, our comprehension. So the word Bereishis, that word is a mamad, is a echot, it's gematria 13, it's one of oneness. See, in life, let me, I always tell this to young people, when they get married and come to me, my shul, I say to them a very interesting thing. I tell them that, you know, you're going to get married right now, and you think that the marriage life is going to be unbelievable great. We all stood under the chippah, convinced that, you know, everything is going to be great. I said to them that Adam Rishon was married to Chava, and Chava gave him to eat. And what did she give him to eat? She gave him the Eitz Hadas, and she killed him. Imagine someone's spouse gave them AIDS. I mean, there's no way there's going to be Shalom Bayis. She gave him AIDS. Are they going to be Shalom Bayis? Now imagine you're going to live forever. You're going to live forever, and she gave you that you're going to die. AIDS is, we're all going to expire, which AIDS probably will expire early and have a more difficult life. But he gave you, so Adam Rishon said, who gave me to eat? He blamed his wife. How did he make peace with her? So I tell everyone, if it's the only lady in the world, you can make peace. The problem that we have a problem making peace is there's many. You know, I tell every newlywed, if you tell yourself, this is the only one, you'll make peace. As soon as you enter your mind, there's something else, then you're going to be in trouble. I one time, a guy came to me, and he tells me that he was spent an enormous amount of time on the internet to buy SUV. So I ask him, how much time do you get? I check 17 SUVs. I was one of the wealthy people who was going to buy it in cash. I said to him, and he's stretching to me, I can't decide. I said, you know why? You have 17 choices. If you have only one choice, the SUV will be great. Imagine there's only one SUV in the market. Everything great. There's 17, now you don't know what to do. Now that's not great. Oneness always makes things great. In Hashem is one, that's why it's great. If you oneness always makes, the more achdus there is, the more unity there is amongst people, the better the shalom bayis, the better this kedusha, the holier you are. Oneness always makes things good. That's a fact in how we explain it. So what happens is, what Rulachma says, the word Bereshis is a mamar, echod. That echod is a hidden, and that gives life for the greatest tumor. Even someone who's far gone, that mamar is a closed up mamar, it's incredible holy, it's called from the great, great Holy Spirit, and that comes down Kedusha, and it gives people to give life, because everything in this world has life, has to be a spark of Kedusha. Life means there has to be a spark of Kedusha. When a person is so confused, he questions himself, questions the reality of God, or he questions whatever, he should just say, where is Hashem? By asking this question, you automatically come up to the high level of Bereshis, and the high level of Bereshis will find Kedusha in you. This helps even if you're depressed, or even you're just angry, and the life frustration, life is sometimes frustrates us and disappoints us. Just asking, where am I? And ask, where is Hashem? That itself gets a person connected to get out of this gloom, of this, fog that he's walking around, just by asking, where is Hashem? This is why the Malachim, the angels, if you go, you know in Kedusha, they say, Ayei Nekoyim Kavoidoi, where is the honor of Hashem? They're seeking the honor. See, one of the greatest challenges of what, as a Jew, we have is to have a relationship with Hashem is difficult because we don't see Him. So I always tell people that, couples are married, we get annoyed at each other. How can you not get annoyed? That's what married life is all about. Again, I always tell young people, I get annoyed at myself. Why can't my wife get annoyed with me? Why can't it work two ways? If I get annoyed with myself and I don't like what I did, so why couldn't she? That's, life is, has its ups and has its downs. But when a person gets into this gloom and doesn't know where he's coming and going, if he just asks himself, where is Hashem? Or where am I doing? What am I doing? Slowly the fog will lift him. So Nachman says that you get connected to Bereshis, the highest sphere, which the highest sphere is Keser, and it's very hidden, but inside of this holy holy, even the lowest person, no matter how far gone, to get Kedusha from there. So the truth is, it's very painful to ask yourself, what in the world am I doing here? It's really very painful. It's much easier to know what the team is doing and what this person is doing. People are always busy with humans, Yiddish would call it being a yenter, being always interested in what others are doing. And it's hard to put the spotlight on yourself. What am I doing? But the more you put the spotlight on yourself, the more you're going to realize, what can I change in life? Often people don't change because they never sat down and said, what is going on here? So again, the word Aye Mikoyim Kavoidoi is when a person is very, very, very gloomed, he should ask himself, where is Hashem? Where is Hashem? The more you ask it, the more you get that. Because it's very difficult, I always tell people, to have a relationship with Hashem. See, with other people, as I began to say, your wife, you get annoyed when you see each other. And you sit down and meal with each other. Or you see your friend. And Hashem, we have to make the relationship. So when, you know, when we're the duo, we have to bring the relationship into us. Let me just finish with Bereishis. The Zohar says another very interesting thing about Bereishis. The word Bereishis is Boro Tayosh. He created Iran. Take this, the Zohar, Kabbalah, takes the word Bereishit, means Bara, he created, Tayish is Aram. Because Avraham Avinu took Yitzchak to the Akedah, and Yitzchak was taken to be, thought that he's going to slaughter Yitzchak for bringing him for a sacrifice. It says, Ayei Haseh Lo'oilu. Where is the Seh Lo'ilu? Because when you ask yourselves, Aye, it's like you bring a sacrifice on Oila, and that helps to clear your thoughts out. The sacrifice, Oila came, Oila means it goes up. The, you know, to explain this in a very practical way, I ask young people before Purim. This year I asked a lot of young people, tell me, what were you daydreaming before Purim? We're daydreaming, you know, we're going to have a party, I'm going to get drunk, and I'm going to, you know, if he's single, who I'm going to flirt with. No one dreams about, I can't wait to stand and read the Megillah, I'm just daydreaming about it. That doesn't happen. We daydream of, your mind floats by itself to non-kedushadiga things. I've said this before, and I'll start to explain it again. The human nature is, we get depressed by itself. No one got up this morning and says, I'm inviting depression to come to me. I want to be depressed today. No one. No one invites depression. No one got up this morning and says, you know, today I want to be critical. No one got up this morning and says, I want to be angry. That slips into your system, you become critical, you become depressed, and you become judgmental. That's automatic. It doesn't need an invitation. You know what really needs an invitation? You have to work to be positive. Negative things, I always tell people, negative things has its own machine. It's underneath everything, and you don't have to get up and say, you know, I really would like to be depressed today. You know, if you want to be happy, you got to tell yourself, I'll be happy. Positive things you must initiate. If you let go, the negative things just climb into you, a person. That's the reality of people don't daydream, but all of a sudden, you know, where is Hashem? I like to see him. We have sweet dreams. You dream about, you know, one of the big problems of humans are we are not in the present. Our mind is dreaming. It was, will be. But no one, unfortunately, dreams good, sweet thoughts. That's not usually how it works. To be good, you have to get up and be good. That's the nature of the thing. So when a person gets all confused and he's in the dark and things bother him, how do you clean that out? When a person asks, Aye, Mekoyim Kavoyde, where is Hashem? So Reb Nachman explains, it's just bought a sacrifice of an animal, and it literally cleans your mind out. It takes the fog away, the more you ask it. And it's literally like you bought a sacrifice. This is a very important thing, because all of us, all humans, go through times when your mind is fogged up. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what you're doing. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I do this? Even business. Sometimes you get stuck. And sometimes in relationships. And sometimes being Jewish. Doing the right thing. Should I do the right thing? Should I not do the right thing? Should I allow my Yitzhar to get the better of me? We get fogged up. You stop. And you just say this to yourself. Aye, where is Hashem? And ask yourself, don't be afraid of yourself, where am I? It's like when the mother asks the child, what have you done? I don't want the child to answer. Because you know, and the child knows, as my children would say, the lamppost knows, but you know, we don't want the answer, we want the question to stay there. That's the same thing over here.
The more you ask yourself, the more you elevate yourself. So he explains that the oila was bought by a sheep, and it's called bora tayish. So the Nosson explains that's the whole mitzvah tzitzis. Now to explain the tzitzis is a very deep Kabbalistic thing. The tzitzis is made from wool. And when a person wears tzitzis in the four corners, it's really supposed to help us in all four sides of us, all four sides of us, to really find, say, that wherever we are, we could find Hashem. See, it's only in your mind. I explained this recently to people. You know, imagine you wake up in a horrible mood. Better. You just went jogging, you feel very sweaty, feel very dirty. You think that the whole world is dirty. You go into the shower, you come out of the shower, you think the whole world is clean all of a sudden. It's the same dirt outside, the mud is the same, and the grass is muddy. But when you feel, you know, all dirty, you feel everyone is dirty. If you feel clean, feel everyone's clean. The feelings of a person is in his mind. It's not reality. You know, sometimes you're in a bad mood, you think the whole world is in a bad mood. You ever notice this? And people, especially people who are very moody, they think the whole world, and they get annoyed. Why are you smiling? You ever have this? Why are you smiling? I like to smile, and I have more than one spirit. Why are you smiling? I said, why is that irritating you? I know why it's irritating you, because he's in a bad mood. And he wants everyone to be in a bad mood. So, it's your mind. But to clear your mind is when you ask yourself, where is Hashem? Where am I doing? Where am I? It slowly takes the fog out of a person's mind. That's what the tzitzis is supposed to be. The tzitzis is made out of wool. And the Rizal explains that the wool represents the highest sphere also of Ayeh. Comes from the same place. As a whole, complicated how to explain this. But because the tzitzis is supposed to help a person to find Hashem. Now, the reason why we men need it and women don't, because we are driven in our sexual urge much, much stronger than women. We need that reminder much more, but it really reminds us, where is Hashem? The tzitzis. But the four corners of it, he explains. So he explains it even deeper. The idea of having clothing. Let me start from the beginning. Other Barishan Chabra, before they sinned, they didn't need clothing. They were not embarrassed. It was a natural way. It was super simple. After they sinned, they lost the great esteem. Now, according to the Zohar, Adam and Rishon Chavra had an aura around them. I don't know if you know about this famous Zohar. Zohar explains that Adam and Rishon Chavra, before this, they were clothed like an aura, a light around them, and after the sin they lost it, and they were very embarrassed. Extremely embarrassed. That's where you notice that the greatest embarrassment for people has connected to sexuality. I remember, I always say the story of when I was 17 years old. I barely knew how to speak English. I grew up speaking Yiddish only. So I remember sitting in the dentist's office, and there was a from New York, there was a senator, I remember, or a congressman, who embezzled, and he also had an affair with someone. The embezzlement, I remember, was one paragraph. The rest was all, you know, sex is embarrassing, it's, people get quickly, wow, it's confusing, but mainly, the most embarrassing thing you could do to someone is when it's connected to sexuality. That's the worst thing you could do to someone. The most, if it's being molested, or is one of the worst embarrassing thing for these people who were molested as a young child, but they suffered. It's a deep embarrassment. That came after other Mauritians sinned. And that's why the whole thing of clothing came afterwards, to give back our honor. We lost our honor by this sin, and now we need our clothing. You ever notice the people dress in a respectfully, demand respect. You know, I tell this to young people, if you date a girl who dresses with respect, because you have self-respect, you're able to respect others. I always tell people, the shidduch has to be, you marry someone, he says, this is a person I could truly respect. I tell this to men, if you date a girl, make sure that you can respect her. And if you dress respectfully, you demand respect. Because that really, if you ask yourself, what is the most important thing that everyone wants in his life? I don't want to, you know, I'm being taped, so I don't want to go into a whole thing, but I've asked people often, the most important thing you want is to be respected. When you date someone and you live with someone, you want them to show you respect. Doesn't mean you should make me think that who knows who I am. Just have respect. I always tell people the greatest couple is if the lady, she thinks, the husband thinks that I'm the luckiest man to have such a wife. And the wife thinks she's the luckiest lady to have such a husband. That means the respect is the glue of relationship. It's not the lust. It's the respect they have from each other. That's the glue of society. And every one of us wants respect and also wants to be acknowledged. And wants to be appreciated. So the more we do these things to each other, the more the relationship is better, is stronger. So other Manishi, when he sinned, what happened to him? He lost the respect. And the clothing brought back respect to him. So the clothing is a thing of respect. Even, you know, even in the secular world, you don't walk into court in swimsuits. You don't walk into, you know, if a guy's going on trial and the lawyer comes dressed, tip-top, dressed. You know, even if a lady is the lawyer, she gets dressed music. I always pointed out to the younger girls. I always tell them, you never notice, ever notice that the Queen of England never wears pants and short skirts? Isn't it amazing? Because respect, that's not what you get respect. Respect is dressed in a respectful way. That's really respect. So other Marishan, when he sinned, he lost the respect then. Hashem gave him new clothing to return the respect. Because the truth is, the more self-respect you have, the more you get closer to Hashem, the more better person you are. It doesn't mean you want everyone to know who you are. And if you run after, you know, there's a famous Gemara. If you run after covet, respect, it's going to run away from you. Ever heard this famous Gemara says, if you run after covet, to respect, it's going to run away from you. If you run away from respect, it's going to run after you. It means you are content with yourself. I feel good. I'm doing what is properly. So that came back slowly when we got the clothing. We dressed, Hashem dressed us. Tzitzis represents the clothing too. And that's supposed to bring us back to respect. When a person feels confused, down in the dumps, you ever notice the first thing, he has no respect for himself. Doesn't know he's coming and going. Now you could walk around and people think, wow, this guy's our life. But you down inside of you know you're confused. You're not sure about yourself. Should I do it, not do it? Yeah, we all humans have gone through this, including myself. It's just a human thing when we get into this cloud, this not clear, and we don't feel good about ourselves. We don't feel respected. We don't feel good. When you ask yourself, I am the Kevoido, you ask, where is the respect of Hashem? Remember, we're not saying, where is Hashem? Aye, Mekoyim, Kevoido. Where is the place where the respect of Hashem's covetous, his honor is? Because when you seek the honor of Hashem, you're going to be honored also. And that brings back a person into a honorable place. So the tzitzis represents this sphere called keser, really it's called. It's the highest sphere is called keter, which is the crown, which brings a person back to his respect. And the tzitzis has this power to do that. You know, the tzitzis,
has Tcheles. You know how many, many people wear it, not everyone, but how many people wear Tcheles. Tcheles is the bruise thing that's on the tzitzis. Because Tcheles is the color blue, but in Hebrew the word Tcheles means also Tachlis, the ultimate goal. If you're focused in your ultimate goal, you feel much better about things. If your focus is on the football game today, or the soccer game, whatever you call it, yeah, you don't feel it. At the end of the day, okay, what is that? Well, no one's getting, I tease young people, no one leaves this world and is going to look back and says, you know, I watched every football game. It doesn't bring, it's a great distraction, it's great, but doesn't bring respect. It's the tzitzis, the mitzvah, that brings respect to us. So that's why he explains why tzitzis helps a person to regain respect. Because a sin, we lose respect to ourselves. No matter how much it is, how little it is, it eats away. When a person sins, it eats away. When a person does tshuva and just says to Hashem, I'm sorry, that brings back the cover to a person. See, Adam HaRishon was confronted by Hashem. And Hashem asked him, why did you do it? You know what he asked him, Ayeku. You know what Adam HaRishon should have said to Hashem? I goofed, I'm sorry, chatosi uvisi b'shati. The second a person says, I'm sorry, he can be angry. Let me tell you a very interesting story that happened in my shul. We have a guy who, he broke in into the pushkas. You know, we have built in, and I caught him one day coming to shul in the afternoon. Usually it's locked somehow, he got in, and he's breaking in. And I kicked him out and says, don't you ever come into the shul. And he couldn't come into the shul, and he was one of those losers, as you would say, if you wanted to come to the shul. One day, I meet him on the street. And he says, I didn't steal. I'm not a stealer. But he says, you know, when you saw me, I wasn't someone else stole it. Oh. So I said to him, you know what? I'll make a deal with you. Let's go to the police station, have you fingerprinted, because the police came and took it from the brain, and if it's not yours, I'll give you a letter, I'll write to the shul. And standing there, he's quiet for a moment. He says, Rabbi, I am sorry, I'm a kleptomaniac, I feel terrible what I did. Before he said it, I was all geared up, you have anger. All of a sudden he says, I'm sorry, I just burst out laughing. Yeah, right. And a minute before I was so pent up, he says, I got you now. He said, listen, I'm a kleptomaniac, I suffer from this, and I'm sorry. When you say I'm sorry, I always tell people, Sean Bais, the greatest thing you can say, I tease my wife, I say, Chatosi Visi Pshati. I'm sorry. And then she says to me, you said it to me last time. I say it again today. She bursts out laughing. You can't be angry. If I just, listen, I'm sorry, I forgot to take care of it, you want me to take it. You can't be too angry. You know, she gets, you told it to me, I say it again today, with a big smile. And when your person admits his fault, it takes away. Now, other Marishan would have said to Hashem one thing. He would have said to Hashem, Chatosi Yavis M'shati, the whole world would have looked different. Hashem gave him the opportunity, asked him, where are you? What have you done? Started saying, it's her fault, this fault, you didn't take responsibility. That's why the world is looking the way it is. The more you take responsibility for yourself, the healthier you're going to be emotionally. So when Reb Nachman says, when you ask yourself, where is Hashem, just let that thought seep into you. And you'll find the kovod of Hashem. You'll go look and see, where is the honor of Hashem? And truthfully is, you know, you sit and think, this world is an incredible world. I always say to myself, I was a microscopic cell,
And, you know, this became from a cholent and some Hungarian goulash my mother made, and then we came here, go explain this. And I have a twin. I have another half to myself. You know, it's just amazing. It's amazing how the world sunsets, sunrises, how much wisdom there is in the world. How much God's wisdom is clear in this earth. Like, we don't fall off. How gravity works, how rain works, how we breathe. It's endless. You know, every cell of us is more complex than that clock on the wall there. No one's going to say, you know where I found that clock? I dug in the ground, and after a trillion years, a clock came out that way. They'll say, you're cuckoo. I mean, you're a clock, yeah. But unfortunately, when you don't believe in Hashem, everything is, every single thing is possible. So the truth is, if you start asking, where is Hashem, you'll find it. And it elevates a person and takes away this clock, and he'll not only find honor of Hashem, you're able to feel good about yourself too. There'll be covet for yourself too. You have self-respect. Because you know, ever notice when you're down in the dumps, you have a hard time respecting yourself. Very difficult. When you're depressed and you're angry and confused, it's very difficult to say, yay, I'm alive! So, you want to ask something? Yes.
So I can see how a person asks, you know, where is Hashem? It could also be, almost like a complaint. Like, Hashem, where are you? Or is it more like asking from an inquisitive?
You're asking inquisitive. You have to see, this is, you got to take time for yourself. It's not an intellectual thing, you got to try it. You got to sit down and you ask yourself the question. I always tell people, we are blessed beyond anyone's imagination. I say this to myself every day. We're living in a time that none of our great-grandparents could imagine living like this. Every one of us came by a car unless we live around the corner. We in LA don't drive. We don't walk more than 2 blocks unless you go jogging. I've said this, like, you know, can you imagine tell your great-grandfather that you're going to get into a box and, you know, you have 4 horses, but my box is going to travel 10 times as fast as your 4 horses. And it's not going to kick up a dust. And I want to tell you something. If it's very hot outside, I'm going to make it cool. And he thinks to himself, probably going to put ice there. And if it's very hot out and cold outside, I'll put heat there. I have no idea. And then you tell your great-grandfather, I'm going to have an orchestra playing in my car. I could have jazz, classic music, you know, teenage music, boom, bang, whatever you want, they're going to have. Whatever music, I'll push up a button. And not only that, I'm going to have one, my wife is going to have one, and if you're a little bit wealthy, your teenage daughter is going to have one. He can't even imagine such a thing. Can you tell someone, your great-grandfather, 400 people will sit into a room and pick themselves up and land 13 hours later in Israel, or half around the world? It used to take 6 months from Europe to go to Israel. And hey, and we kvetch. I went in, you know, I'm very tall, and I kvetch. Going to Israel, I need a better seat because my legs don't fit. You know, they would say, just roll me up in a bubble, I'll go for 13 hours. We are blessed beyond in our imaginations. We are blessed. One of the great blessings that we have time. We do have time. Ask yourself how much time you waste on the computer, on television, the silly things. Take time for yourself and think, what am I doing with my life? And talk to Hashem. It's your life you're going to make better. It's to tell yourself, this is my life. God's gifts of life I have. And you ask yourself, how can I be a better person? How can I be a happier person? How can I be a more giving person? How can I make my relationship better? Let it be with my friends, my spouse, my mother, or Hashem. How do I make it a better place? That
only comes when you take time for yourself. And this is one of the great teachings of Rav Nachman over here that he's trying to explain. Take time for yourself when you're confused and ask yourself, where am I? Where's Hashem? And slowly, you'll all of a sudden realize the world is not coming to an end. And you don't have to have suicidal thoughts. The world is not ending yet. I often said that most people don't walk around happy. Do you know why? They don't even realize they're not happy. You ask, I said this, ask an average person, how many times a year did you get out of bed the morning and say, yay, I'm alive! Most of us get up in the morning, do we really have to get up? Maybe we could stay under the covers for 3 days and disappear. We don't have this because we don't pay attention what life is all about. We don't grab life in our hands. So most people that are the unhappy, they don't even realize unhappy. I once spoke about happiness in my shul, and someone that I explained how important happiness, and sometimes people go around for a month or two depressed. The guy screamed out, Rabbi, how about 2 years? So he walked around 2 years, not even realizing how depressed he was. I said, the only reason this happens is because you don't take time for yourself. Ask yourself, what am I doing? See, the reason why you need this so badly, because you become depressed by itself. Like I began to say, no one invites depression. When we go through a depression, it's not we got up in the morning and we invited him or he ate something. We get depressed. That's the human nature. You know what I tell young people? I know they said it over here. I tell young people when they get married, the day you're going to compliment your wife as much as you criticize her, you're going to have a good marriage. The day you're going to compliment her more than you criticize her, you'll have a great marriage. See, comes to criticism, we all are experts. Do you know that Hallmark doesn't sell cards of criticism? Do you know that? Do you know? We know how to do a better job than them. But I have to say thank you, I have to go to Ralph's and get a card to trade, the young people get it on the computer. I don't know how to say thank you. I don't say I appreciate you, I love you. I said over maybe the story once again, I once went with my daughter, the last daughter, and the one who just got married recently, and I went with her, and I didn't realize it was Mother's Day. We don't celebrate Mother's Day. I come into Ralph's, and a lot of people standing there. I asked my daughter, why are people standing by the car? They don't know it's Mother's Day. I said to her, let's look at the people standing there. Let's do our shopping. Well, come here. We did all the shop, 20 minutes, more than half the people there. And I asked my daughter, you think when he called his mom up, and she called the mom, he was annoyed. She edited the words as much as editing the words now. She called me, she was annoyed, mom, and gave it to her mother. All of a sudden, he wanted to buy a card. This is a little bit too mushy. This is a little bit, she doesn't deserve such a card. And this is not good enough. And it comes to criticism, I always tell people, we also very mock when we say criticism, do it immediately. If you want to say thank you, well, we can go to the store, we get the flowers, we'll wait a week, that's a mock the right way to do it. That's the human nature. The human nature, the negative, is much more powerful. Because if you let go of yourself, that's how we all are. We all are critical much quicker. We are not complimentary. The negative that we have is much, much stronger. The only way to change that is to live a conscious life. Your conscious life only comes if you meditate. If you start thinking, what am I doing here? This I am going to avoid an especially inviting God into your conscience. Where is Hashem? The more you invite it, the more your mind gets cleared up. And Rav Nachman says even more, it's like you're bringing a sacrifice. You bring the Ayas Eloilu. It's like Yitzchak who's brought on the altar. So, I want to challenge you all. Why don't you steal 20 minutes a day and just talk to us? Today, there's a big belief into yoga meditation. I've met people. I've met them and they You say it's great, I met someone who became religious before he became religious. He was very much, it really does. I watch people who do yoga, much calmer. There's a calmness to them. We are blessed by this. And I'm telling you, your life, if you do it every day, without failure, you do it every, you discipline yourself, you'll see your life is going to change. Nothing could change your life unless you do it every day. It's very good, I spoke here for 45 minutes, and I'm sure you enjoyed it. It's not going to change you unless you do it for yourself. You got to take time and say, take time, I'm just stop at 20 minutes. I'm not budging, no cell phone, no phone calls. This is my 20 minutes, I'm in a bubble. And just sit there and try to connect to Hashem. And you'll see your life, you'll be much happier because you're much more alert. You're alert with what's going on. You're alert with your moods.
I want to ask this guy, I used to do this when I get other classes. How many people do you know walk around smiling all the time?
Probably 1 out of 1,000 people. Most people walk around not smiling, so most people think the rabbi knows what's going on in my life, he'll give me permission not to smile. One of the things, if you don't smile, you're losing out on life. I want to tell you something. The sun set today without our smile. Now, let's see, if you live today, wouldn't that have been better if you smiled all day long today? You would have gotten a lot more mileage out of today's life. Isn't that true? You would have just smiled. The same aggravation that you have, I had also plenty of aggravation today. But if you smile, so you're the same. This is not much. You know, when you smile, you're able to tolerate much better. My daughter, my youngest daughter, I always tell her this story. She was 11 years old. She comes home. She gives me a whole speech. She tells me she needs a new backpack. So I knew on the stand already, probably her friends have it. And she's going on. And my mind is wandering, trying to listen to her. So I said, I got it. She said, oh, you're buying me a new one. I said, no, let me tell you what I got. You're trying to explain to me that it's much easier to carry the load. You know, it's a new backpack, it's special for the water, special for the pens, and you know, being a little dramatic 11-year-old girl, I says, yeah, now I have a good motion to tell people, if you're happy, you carry the load of life much easier. You're unhappy, then you have a backpack which is broken, the pockets are ripped, and you don't know what, you know, it's not, if you're happy, we all have a load to carry. Living, just being alive, is a load. Just being married, raising children, being yourself is a load. But when you're happy, the load is much easier to hold. So I hope all of you will steal 20 minutes a day. Try it out. And sit and even start with this one. Just say, where is Hashem? Or ask yourself, what am I doing? Or start talking to Hashem. You know, it's incredibly powerful.
Excellent. A friend of mine, Eric, just wanted to say hi.